In the beginning of the year, we make all these New Year's resolutions and everything to try to make a better year this year than last year was. And well, now we're a ways into the new year already, and we're nearly a month into it. And so how are we doing with our New Year's resolutions if we've made them? You know, have we managed to get them all broken yet, or are we still working on some of them? But I just like to take this opportunity to remind each of you that as a believer in Christ Jesus of Nazareth, it says we are a new creature. New creature. Not an old creature, not a puttied up, repainted, rusted out bucket with a new paint job, but we're supposed to be brand new. And the old creature seems like always wants to keep coming back, doesn't it? See, that's what happens when we make the New Year's resolutions. You know, we find that we didn't keep them this year any more than we kept them last year or the year before, because so much of the old creature doesn't want to go away. I read about in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And sometimes I got to wonder, where does the old creature go when we become new? Is it discarded, or is it still waiting in there, lurking in there someplace, wanting to come back out again? You know, I look in the mirror and I see the old Jerry sometimes. And even though it says I'm a new creature, I look and I says, well, in some ways I'm new. I have gray hair now where I used to have black hair. But I wonder, where has the old creature gone? Because I question about all things becoming new. Like, I love mashed potatoes. When I was the old creature, I loved mashed potatoes. And when I became born again, I still love mashed potatoes. And I think, well then, have all things become new? Apparently, all things don't change when we give our life to Christ Jesus. Because I would guess if everything became new, we would not only be unrecognizable to God, but we'd be unrecognizable to our mates and to our loved ones, and they wouldn't even know us if everything became new. So there must be some parts of us that still remain old. And I guess as the old part of the creature that remains is what we're fighting against every day in our walk with Christ Jesus. If all things were indeed new and all things were all passed away, then everything about us would be changed from the ground up. And that just isn't the way it happened. So what is this new creature? Or what is the thing that we are becoming? We're becoming day by day, year by year, a new creature more like Christ Jesus than we were when we started, obviously. But I know I haven't arrived yet. Maybe you haven't either. But I'm not where I was. And I know you're not where you were. And that's the good part, that God is bringing us from glory to glory each day. You know, but the one thing that is new is not so much what we do, but who we are, our identity in Christ Jesus. We were once lost and without hope of eternal life, without any kind of relationship with Christ Jesus, without any kind of hope for salvation. We were lost in our sins. But because of the generosity of our Father God, and because of His immense love for us, that He loved us first, and He gave His Son that we might become a new who. And as we go through our relationship with Him, then not only the who changes, but the do changes, or it should. There should be an absolute huge difference in us. You know, but the thing of it is, just like with the New Year's, we make the resolutions and we say, everything is going to be different this year. I'm going to do better. I'm going to love more. I'm going to be more forgiving. I'm going to be the image of Christ. And we start off with all these good intentions. And then as the year goes on, the old creature sometimes starts creeping back. And that's why we end up with hearts that are not quite what they ought to be with Christ Jesus. We all start good. You know, I don't know how many of you are race fans, but I used to love racing. But I never got real excited with the first lap of the race. It was always the last lap that got me excited, you know. And everybody starts well with Christ Jesus. Everybody falls in love with everybody else, and they just love all their family, and even the unlovable ones, they love them, and they love everybody. But, you know, you see those people sometimes a few years later, and they're still the same way, but the vast majority of them, the old creature has crept back in, and they're gradually becoming back what they were, the old creature. It shouldn't be that way because of what Christ Jesus did for us. Nothing we did for ourselves, but what He did for us. But our who is something we're always having to work on in that new creature. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I struggle with that who. Sometimes the old Jerry keeps wanting to come back out and take over again. And I don't know if any of you ever have that problem, but I know I've struggled with it. And I've been walking with the Lord for about 22 years now, going on 23. And I still struggle with things sometimes. I don't have it down yet. I'm working on it. And I hope I'm the only one that has that problem. But I don't know. The sum of who we are becomes what we think, what we speak, and what we do. The new creature has to be a daily renovation of our thoughts, I guess, a reinvention every day. We have to look at the Word, study the Word, and see what Christ Jesus is, and look at that. And then look in the mirror and say, how much of this am I doing? Could I do this better? Could I do that better? Because if we don't, if we slip away from, like the New Year's resolutions, if we let them slip, we soon slip back into what we were before. And if we keep the Word before us daily and continually compare ourselves with the Word of God, then we have a hope of maintaining an upward path instead of falling back or becoming neutral. You know, just like a transmission in our car has park, reverse, neutral, and drive. Now, where are we in this journey? Are we in drive? Are we in neutral, just sitting there revving our engines and wasting our time? Are we in park, going nowhere? Or are we actually losing ground and backing up? You see, we a lot of times blame the devil for all these things that happen to us, that we have all these trials and setbacks and temptations. And well, Satan's an equal opportunity destroyer. He doesn't just pick on us. He's picking on everybody in the world. We can see it all around us. But he does everything he can to discourage us from putting it in drive and stomping on the gas. He wants us to remain in park here. Or better yet, he wants us back up, go back into the old creature again. And he does not have the power to keep us in park or neutral or reverse. Only we do. We're real quick to blame the devil for our problems a lot of times, but I think when we look at the Word, it tells us that God is supreme. It tells us that Satan cannot keep us from salvation. He cannot keep us from walking with the Lord. He does not have the power to stop us. We, as children of God, can walk all over Him. We have authority over Him. The new creature has to remember this. The old creature says, well, you know, every time the devil yells boo, we cower. But when we remember the who we are as the new creature, I don't think there's enough teaching in the churches about the new creature. We have all these nice words we hear, but we're not taught how to really walk in that power. And that power only comes by study of the Word, meditation, and prayer, and then doing something about what we have read and what we've heard. Because so many of us want to read the Word and say, well, this is very nice, I think I should do this, but nobody ever puts it in gear and steps on the gas. And the devil manages to talk us into maintaining the status quo of our old creature instead of becoming the new creature we should be. You know, looking at it from a natural standpoint, we'll say your workplace. where you've been many years. The boss has always done this a certain way, and they've been looking at the bottom line of the company, and the company's not doing very good, and it's on the verge of bankruptcy. And they've been doing things the same way for a long time. And they finally had enough sense to realize if you keep doing the same thing you always done, you always get what you always got. And so they fired the boss. And a lot of companies do that. They bring in new top executives. And so the new boss comes in and he draws all the employees together and he says, well, here's why the company has been failing. We've had corruption here. We've had mismanagement at this level. We've had things that's just been done unethically. We've had things that have been done carelessly. But I'm the new boss now, and this is the way it's going to be, and I'm not going to have it any other way. Well, but you would think all the employees would get all fired up, and they want to do things right, and they want to get the company back on track and make a profit at doing whatever they're doing. But, you know, old habits die hard, and so the people kind of resist change, and they resist the new boss, and they just kind of want to keep things the way they were because they're comfortable with it. And the same thing applies like in marriages, for example. There's countless women that are being battered that have been in very bad marriages for a long time. And they know if they would just leave and go out on their own that they could have a better life. But somehow it's more comfortable to stay in the bad marriage than it is to break away. Because they've always done it this way and they're more comfortable doing that. Well, the old creature in us, when we become the new creature, the old creature resists us because even if we were sick and blind and broke and in captivity and have addictions, it's easier, they perceive, to do things the old way rather than make waves and do it the new way. And so that's why many times when people become disciples of Christ, they take off with a lurch and they're raring to go and save the world. But pretty soon the old creature starts coming back in. And because we allow ourselves to stop looking at and setting goals to become as Christ, and we become complacent in our ways. And then before too long, the old creature is back in the throne again instead of the new creature. And I think many of us battle that. I know by going around to so many churches and ministering, I see pastors that tell me, well, these people in our congregation have been all fired up, and then 2 or 3 years later, they're right back the way they were again. They're back in the same addictions or in the same problems, same broken marriages. What happened? It's because we didn't take care of the new creature, didn't feed the new creature. You know, like if you have two dogs and you feed one and you don't feed the other one, which one's going to be stronger? The new dog's going to be stronger. The one that's been fed all the time. Well, our old creature has been used to having its own way, doing what it wants to do. And it likes doing it, even if it doesn't like the results. You know, there's a lot of people that have just really wanted a new life. But they're so comfortable in the old one because they don't want to do what it takes to get to that new place. So they just kind of give up and stay in the old place. And that's kind of what we all fight with all the time, is the old creature wants to do that. You know, if you go in Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 14, Paul tells us that he apparently had some issues with the old creature. It says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not, and that which I would, that do I not, but that which I hate, that do I. If I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. But I wondered, Paul, having been a leader of the scribes, knew the law, kept the law from his youngest days. What kind of issues of the old creature was he still dealing with? What kind of things a man who kept the law so well and everything that we would look at as almost a perfect man, what was he still struggling with in his walk with God that he would say these things? And I really kind of wonder about that, because looking at Paul and how he wrote so much of the New Testament, what kind of issues did he have been dealing with the old creature trying? And it makes me wonder, well, if he had issues to deal with, you know, where do I stand? You know, the devil tries to pull that old creature back out of us. And, you know, one thing he's good for, he'll keep people in captivity under watch of his henchmen for a while until they no longer are trying to get free. You see people that are alcoholics, for example, you know, they're no longer even wanting to get free. Even though they don't like what they're doing, they're not trying to break loose anymore because the devil's got them so deep in captivity. And when you try to help some of these people, you'll find that they'll actually resist efforts to try to get them free. You know, they'll make excuses. Well, you know, I don't have an alcohol problem. You know, I drink, I get drunk, I fall down, no problem. But we find that many people that we minister to and try to help, they actually resist being helped. They'd rather stay as they are. Maybe, you know, people are sick, or they're in deep financial debt, or they have some other things going on in their lives and they don't like where they're at. But all of us have dealt with people like that, that you offer them a way out, offer them advice, offer them help, and they don't want it. They just want to stay where they're at. The old creature. They want to become new, but they're not willing to do what it takes to become new. I'd like to look at Luke 4:18. Jesus was saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now that's good news if I ever heard it. He was telling people He was going to set them free. He was going to end their captivity. But let's look at what it says a few verses later. Then it says, and He closed the book, and He gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened upon Him. And He began to say unto them, this day this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And all bear Him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of His mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? And He said to them, you will surely say to me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And He said, verily I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, and when the heavens was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save to Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saying Naaman the Syrian. And all in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and they rose up, thrusting him out of the city, and led him to the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. Does that sound like people that wanted to be set free and of their captivities and healed? Doesn't to me. It sounds like somebody that was happy in their old ways and didn't want to change things. You know, even if they were like blind and sick and broke and captive, like it said there, they were just wanting to stay that way. And we find it's like that in our own lives so many times. And Christ Jesus has come to set us free and get us out of bondage. And the old man rises up and tries to say, no, I don't want this, wants to throw it off and resist change. You know, people pretty much resist change. We don't really want to change. We want to stay right where we're at, doing what we're doing, even if it's not getting us where we want. You know, if you got a farmer out here that's raised corn for 20 years and he says, I'm so sick of corn, if I eat another piece of corn, I'm going to barf. And so you'd say to him, well, why don't you plant green beans? Oh, I think I'll just keep raising corn. I've always raised corn. It's all I know how to do. Well, the old man, that's what Satan is trying to put back in us, is the old creature. He does not want us to become a new creation. He wants to pamper and feed our old creation, our old creature. He wants to keep us where we are. He doesn't want us to go forward. Well, so I would say sadly, you know, if you find yourself sick, blind, oppressed, captive, there's a high likelihood you're struggling giving up the old creature to become the new. You're not alone. There's millions of people that are dealing with that. There is only one way to get free, and a few will get free. You're going to find people that will get free because they're willing to put forth whatever effort it takes to become that new creature in Christ Jesus. They don't care how much opposition they're going to face because their eye is on the prize. The treasure of salvation is worth more than any treasure we could have on this earth. The Bible talks about a man who went in the field and found a treasure hidden in the field, and he went and sold everything he had so he could go and buy that field. Those are the ones that are going to make the kingdom. But we have to have our eyes daily on the prize, because it is so easy for the old creature to take over again. Here, so many times we've been trying to blame the devil for holding us back. But you know, like I said earlier, Satan has no power to keep you from your walk with Christ Jesus. There is only one that can stop you from having your relationship with Christ Jesus. The only one in the universe that can stop you, can prevent you from going forward in a relationship with Christ Jesus, is you. Can't blame it on the devil. God gave us everything that we need to become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old habits die hard, but they can die. You can put them in the grave, and you can become everything that Christ Jesus says you can be. It's your decision. Choose wisely.